because it is Resurrection Sunday. We're going to get at least one Resurrection Sunday passage in here. And then God is responsible for whatever else happens, okay? Glory. Why do we gather together? Why do we gather together? We gather together. We come together as brothers and sisters to learn of our Jesus, to celebrate a oneness that we have in Him, to come and to find an authentic expression of Christianity. Let me express to you that an authentic expression of Christianity is not just the Ten Commandments. It's not just laws and rules and regulations. But an authentic expression of Christianity is a living, loving relationship with our Christ. It's a love affair with God. Something that just so bypasses everything else. Something that begins to define who we are. Because it begins to reflect who He is. When you come into love with Him, what you're doing is you're returning something He's already extended to you. This resurrection story is a story of His love. How He loved you. How He loved you and set things up in such a way that you could come into the fullness of a relationship with Him. A fullness of joy and peace. A fullness of a place where you're so satisfied. You're so filled up. Well, you're filled up. That God is all there is inside of you. That the other things that have been trying to hold you back. The other things that have been trying to keep you out. The other things that have been trying to keep you in a locked down place. Those are broken. Forevermore. Forevermore. Hallelujah. So jumping in. Chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, verse 1. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of Jesus. And what happened, while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood with them in dazzling apparel. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but He has risen. Remember how He spoke to you while He was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men to be crucified and on the third day rise again." And they remembered His words and then returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Hallelujah. What is resurrection? The word just simply means to stand up. To stand up. To stand up. It means that in the moment they began to recognize something was different here. Because see, this is a mathematical improbability that something was taken away and yet something greater has happened. What am I saying? I said, if this box of Kleenex was that tomb and I began to empty it out, what we would have left would be an empty box. It would be less than what it was to start with. But see, when an empty tomb, when the tomb is empty of Christ, it's something more than what it started with. It's something more than what it started with. Because see, an empty tomb represents a tomb, represents a place, a change, and a beginning all in the same time. It represents an end of one thing and the beginning of a new thing all at one time. It represents something in a moment where God is taken and He said, right here is where it ends. The Old Testament is over. The New Testament begins right now. The law ends right now. Grace begins right now. We're stepping into grace. See, there's a change and there's an atmosphere for a shift in the atmosphere. There's a shift in the atmosphere happening right now. And we step into the law of grace. We step into the law of God's great justice being delivered. Hallelujah. There's a shift that's happening. Because why? Because we get to recognize the original purpose. Your original purpose. Your original purpose. Revival is just that. Robert Coleman said revival is the recognition or the moment when we begin to recognize our true nature and purpose. Guess what? Resurrection is just that. recognizing your true nature and purpose, the true calling that God put inside you, the true life that God put inside you, the true recognition and the true ability to come and to have fellowship and relationship with Him that He created. That's the nature of revival. That's the nature of what happens on a resurrection Sunday, on a resurrection day, because when Jesus stepped out of the tomb, He stepped into your destiny. You stepped into your destiny with Him. You stepped into who He's called you to be as He stepped out of that tomb. Because death couldn't hold Him. Sam was saying, death couldn't hold Him. All the devils in hell couldn't hold Him. Because He was greater. And greater is He in you than He who is in the world. Greater is He in you than He who is in the world. And He's wanting us to recognize this morning the importance of that shift. The importance of that opportunity that we have to take hold of who He is. Hallelujah. See, that empty tomb means that the cross wasn't just a senseless slaughter. See, there's lots of people who died in horrible ways. But it means that there was a point and a purpose. Because that all that horror that He went through, all the pain, the suffering that He went through was for a purpose, and that purpose was you. Each and every one of you. When He was on that cross, He was looking down and He looked into the future and He saw you. And as He saw you, He knew, this is what I'm doing it for. There was a joy that rose up with Him in spite of the pain, in spite of the things that He was experiencing. There was still a joy that rose up within Him for each and every one who would come to answer His call, to come to be filled with what God has done. Hallelujah. The empty tomb marks Christianity as being different than every other religion. Because every other religion, the leader of that religion is in the ground somewhere. Only we have a risen Lord. Only we have a risen King. Only we have a living One to seek after. To seek after and to follow. Because Christ is the living One. He is the risen One, the risen King. That's why we get to follow. That's why there's so much life. That's why things like the cancer are being healed, because we serve a risen God. Hallelujah. A risen God. So that empty tomb is greater than a tomb that was full. That empty tomb is greater than the tomb that it still held a body. Because see, that empty tomb represents the power and the authority of God on your behalf. Because that same power and authority that He rose Jesus up with is the same power and authority He puts in your life. For you. For you in your situation. No matter what that situation is, He's embracing you with that same power and authority because He wants you to know who He is. He wants you to rise up in the understanding of His great sufficiency for your situation. This is why it marks Christianity as different. That empty tomb wasn't the end of hope, but the beginning. The beginning of hope. It was a beginning of hope. Can you imagine what it was like for those apostles who had been following Him for 3.5 years and they had these dreams and visions of what was going to happen, but they didn't really yet have the understanding. And so when Christ was raised up and He was put up on that cross and then He dies, can you imagine the desperation of soul that that was for them in that moment? The desperation. And even in the thing we saw in this little skit, we saw the desperation was being portrayed as like, oh, what if? What if I'd done this? What if I'd done that? What if I'd done something different? What would have happened? What could have happened? Could you have still been here, my King? But then, when they found Him, arise, arise. When they found Him, that He was risen. When they found that He had risen and that He was alive and that He was the living One and He was still amongst them and He was able to touch and change their life. He was able to touch them in such a way because the power of that resurrection went forth in them everywhere that they went. 12 people began to change the shape of world history 12 people changed the shape. There's more people in here than that, and you can change the shape of history going forth. Very much time itself was marked, the mark of time changed because of this resurrection. The Roman Empire changed because of the resurrection. Your life, my life, changed because of the resurrection. This is what God is doing. This is what he wants to create in us. This is what he wants to bring into us as an understanding of the opportunity that he places before us. Go with me to John 15. I'm going to hang on here. All of a sudden, Lord, just release it even upon these people. Just release it even now. I just feel that love that's within him just welling up within me. That knowing that he's right here. Right here, right now. He's wanting to address some things in your life with that resurrection power right now. There's an anointing going forth to bring you into the shift right where you sit in your seat. You don't have to do anything but just receive right now. Because he's releasing the testimony. The testimony of who he is. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for the testimony. We thank you, Father, for an awakening in you, in our hearts and in our minds. Father, we thank you that this happens right now. There is no love that's greater than your love, Lord. You look at John 15, verse 13. And it says this, greater love has no one than this, to lay down his life for his friend. I'm here to submit to you this morning that when Jesus allowed himself to be placed upon that cross in such a cruel fashion, he did it as the greatest act of love that's ever been seen. Knowing that he didn't have to, knowing that he was perfect in every way, knowing that he was unjustly accused so that you might be justly freed. So that justice could be served, not upon you, but upon him. The greatest act of love that has ever occurred when he got upon that cross. And then the greatest victory that we have ever seen occurred when they found that tomb was empty. See, that sacrifice was the fulfillment of the law. And it opened up the place for grace. It said, Romans 13 and 10 tells us that love fulfilled the law. Love came in the person of Jesus Christ. And he fulfilled the law by allowing himself to be sacrificed on your behalf, allowing himself to be sacrificed so that the sin and the transgression, the iniquity that has been in us, had a place to be placed. That could be attached to that cross. But the good news is it was left at that cross. It was left at the cross. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter who you've been. It only matters if you allow him to answer the call in you. If you allow him to come in when he begins to knock at your door. That's the only thing that matters. It doesn't matter what we did. Matter of fact, the blood of Christ is more than enough. It's more than a conqueror on your behalf. And in his conquering and his cleansing you even now. See, for a long time when I first got saved, I thought, you know, everything that I did now before this moment of salvation, everything that I did was all taken care of. But what about the sins that I commit now? But see, 1 John 1:7 tells us that when we'll walk in the light as he walks in the light, we'll have fellowship together. That was the whole purpose of it, of what he did. It was so we could have fellowship together. And when we have fellowship together, it says that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us now from all sin. Cleanses us right now in this moment. And in this moment. And in this moment. And in this moment. It can cleanse you. It says cleanses. Didn't say cleanse past tense. It said cleanses present tense. It's cleansing you even now because of what he did on that cross and what happened on that resurrection Sunday. The blood of Christ is cleansing right now. Every sin, every iniquity that will surrender to him, that will bring it into his presence, that will allow him to love on us so we can love on him. Because we can only love because he first loved us. We love because he loved us. Not because of some great goodness inside of us. Not because of some performance. Not because of anything that we've done or anything that we've earned or anything else that we can do. We can love because he chose to love us. He put you first. In that moment, the first, the one who's truly first, became last so that you could come to the forefront. So that you could rise up and become and step into the salvation that he was offering, to rise up and step into the freedom that he was offering, to rise up and step into the overcoming that he walks in. There's no greater love than to lay down your life for another. In the natural, we might do that for someone we really love. But who's going to lay down your life for someone who hates you? For someone who despises you? For someone who will never even call you back? Jesus did that. Jesus did that. He laid down his life. And some will never respond to that. And yet he still laid down his life. Because of the love that's in him for each and every one of you. Hallelujah. See, this love is the foundation of our strength. This love is the place of the foundation for an absence of fear. A complete and total absence of fear, because in him there is no fear. In him there is no reason for fear, because see, fear has torment to it, and perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love casts out all fear, and if you need the scripture, it's 1 John 4, 18. And so, but first, perfect love casts out all fear. Because when we're totally and completely enveloped in him who is the creator of all creation, who is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, there is nothing else that's going to compare. We sang the song earlier, who can compare? And there is none who can compare. There is none who can compare, because he is the risen King. Because this resurrection qualified you. It wasn't something that we can do. I'd like to say it was my mighty works or all the things that I've done or all this and that. No, none of those things mean anything. It only thing that means anything is what he did for us. What he did. The love that was in him. He was delivered up. You know, just here in John, just go back to John 12. See if I can focus for a minute. And they're hearing the audible voice of God making direct declaration over Jesus, saying that he is glorified and he's about to glorify him again. And Jesus answered and said, verse 30, "This voice has not come for my sake, but for your sakes. Now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world shall be cast out." Cast out. Just say it with me. Devil, you're cast out. You are cast out. The rule of this world is cast out. Hallelujah. And he says, verse 32, "And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." He draws all men to himself. Not because of anything that we've done, but simply because we don't recognize that you don't have to be perfect. You know, sometimes we think we have to be perfect to come to him. Sometimes we think we have to be perfect to be qualified to be in his presence. And he's saying, you don't have to be perfect because I've perfectly qualified you. I've perfectly qualified you. Because this is the righteousness that he places in us. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Because this really sums up the love story. It really sums up the love story that is the cross, that is the resurrection. Because those 3 days were the 3 most important days in the history of man. Because they took man from his fallen state, a nature that he could not redeem himself from, and brought him into the resurrection of life, brought him back into the place that was originally established for us at the garden. See, that's who we really are supposed to be. There's a restoration to who we're supposed to be happening in that moment. Because see, in the garden, we had the freedom to walk and interface with Him, to know Him and to express and come into fellowship with Him intimately. And all the years in between the fall and this moment, they had to offer sacrifices through a priest in order to just have some sense of being forgiven. But God says now, the veil is rent. The veil is torn. The veil is torn, and so forevermore, you can come freely to me because I am there for you. I am waiting for you. The veil is rent. Come to me. Come to me and stand with me. Let me love on you. Let me share with you because I've made the way. I've made the way. He stood as He was on that cross, and He was looking into the city, and He looked at that veil, knowing that that's the last time that veil is going to be shut. Because when He died, boom, the veil was opened. The veil was opened forevermore. And He wants you to step in, get the freedom of it. Hallelujah. 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 Lord Jesus, your freedom, Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 14, it says here, for the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, and therefore all died. For one, sometimes we have an adverse reaction to the word controls. Well, he's simply reflecting there is that word actually means that holds together, holds it fast. The love of Christ is the glue that holds it together. That's the glue that makes the difference in our salvation. It gives us the opportunity. He's saying that love is the thing that comes and holds us together in this triumph. In verse 15, he says, and he died for all that they should all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no man according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him thus no longer. In other words, He'd already passed. They'd already visited Him with the flesh for 3.5 years. They studied under Him. They walked with Him. They ate with Him. But those days were over. But now they're stepping into a whole new chapter. The same chapter that you get to step into. A resurrection life. A resurrection power. Knowing Him and expressing Him and having Him express Himself through you. Hallelujah. Okay, verse 17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. New things are come. New things are come. We have a new nature. We have a new nature. We have a risen nature because we serve a risen King. We're no longer subject to the old things, but now we can step into the brilliance of the new. The overcoming luminescence of His love is being expressed through me and you. And all these are things from God who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That's to me and to you. That's to you, Robert. Every one of us. Chris. To you. The ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against Him, and He's committed to us the word of reconciliation. Where to start? Namely, Christ was in Christ. He was reconciling the word to Himself. Because why? Because after the fall, that there was an enmity between God and man. And this moment of resurrection power changed that forever. Gave you access. Gave you access to the Father, to God the Father. He says, but I've given you the ministry of reconciliation. We need to understand what reconciliation is. See, it's an atonement. It's an exchange. It's a place of exchange. But it also means the restoration of favor. The restoration of favor. God has brought you into a place of the restoration of favor over your life. Why? Because he died to do so for you. Every place in your life that was in dishonor or disfavor has now been placed into a place and a recognition of favor over your life. Favor over your finances. Favor over your family. Favor over your business. Favor over your ministry. No matter what it is, God has declared, I'm bringing it into a place of favor. That's what he wants. See, in the place of favor is the place of grace. It's grace being released. What is grace? Grace is the ability, that which enables us to fulfill the will of the Father. You can make grace into a lot of things, and I know some preachers do. That's not the real grace. The real grace is that which fulfills the will of the Father in you. That's the real grace. Because see, if we can do it all on our own, we're not really depending upon God. God's looking for people who will depend upon Him. And He's looking for people who depend upon Him, and we do that by grace. Because the grace will enable us to do something that's far beyond our own ability. Far beyond our own understanding. Why? Because that's who He is. He wants us to understand and step into that grace. See, this is why this is a love story. Because He's brought you out of the place of dishonor and disfavor. He's brought you out of the place of being lost and alone and abandoned. And He said, I'm going to restore favor in your life. I'm going to restore the blessing in your life. I'm going to restore the habitation over your life. Because He's God. And He can do it. Because He's God. That's what He does. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. You, Houston Revival Center, you're ambassadors for Christ. As though God were entreating us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Be returned to favor. Be returned to the state of favor. I'm going to speak it as a blessing. Be returned to the state of favor. Hallelujah. Be returned to the state of favor. Hallelujah. And He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. That we might become the righteousness of God in Him. You know, I learned real early in my walk, my Christian walk, because when I came to Christ, I was 35 years old. I had a lot of miles underneath me already. A whole lot of hard living behind me already. I knew a lot of things I shouldn't know about, okay? And God, what I learned early on, to use confession to renew my mind. To begin to confess the word and renew my mind. But when I would say this one, that I am the righteousness of God, I wanted to hide. Why? Because I didn't feel like the righteousness of God in any area of my life. But I had to learn, this is Him. This is what He does. This is what He calls us to. It's His standing. It's His doing. It's not because of anything we are or we've done. It doesn't matter how good or not we've been. What it matters is that He's the one who's declaring it on your behalf. He's the one who's bringing into the reconciliation of favor. He's the one who's bringing into a restoration of favor in your life. And because He's doing it, because He's a risen King, He's a risen Lord, He is more than a conqueror of all those other situations that are in your life. And He will do it. All we have to do is let Him. Now I can begin to say that I am the righteousness of God, and I don't have to quake in fear that I'm going to be struck down by lightning. Because for a while I thought so. I would like hide behind Tim and say, I'm the righteousness of God. You didn't know what I was doing, did you, brother? Hallelujah. Just say it with me this morning. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. I am the righteousness of God. That's what He says about you. That's what He says about you. He's got a love story. Turn with me to Revelation 3. He's got a love story. He's got an issue. And His issue is you. He's lovesick for you. He's overcome. He's head over heels in love with you. And he's looking for you to respond to him. He's looking for you to receive him and to know that this love that he has, he is so willing to transcend anything and everything that you've ever been. In his love for you, he's so willing to push away your past and embrace you. Revelation 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Anyone who hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and I will dine with him and he with me. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne. So also I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He's given you a call. He's given you a call. See, in their time, they understood that to come into fellowship, for him to come and dine with you was an invitation to come in fellowship. Come and enter in. Let's have talk. Let's break some bread. Let's have discussion. And let's love on one another. That's the invitation he puts out here this morning. I want to give everybody here, if you haven't made that decision for Christ, I want to give you an opportunity this morning. Because he's standing at your door and knocking this morning. He is making himself available to you. He's making himself plain to you. This morning, right now, if you haven't accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, I just ask you to put your hand up. Just put your hands up. If you would like for him to come into your life, if you'd like for him to know this love that he has for you, I just want to make sure you have the opportunity. If there's something in your life where you need restoration, then I ask you, if you would, just to come to the front so we can pray with you. If there's a place in your life where you want to be restored to favor, then he's extending an invitation this morning. And you can come forward and we'll pray with you. With every head still bowed, let's just pray with me. Lord Jesus, I ask you today for this forgiveness your resurrection made available to me. I ask you today for the restoration to favor in my life, for this reconciliation between me and you. Lord, I understand that you died and rose again. Lord, I put my faith in you. Today, Lord, I make a choice to accept you, to have you in my life. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.